Welcome to the Hashtag AmWriting podcast, a special edition thereof, the Writing Working Bookshelf, the working bookshelf, really. Hashtag AmWriting about writing. I'm KJ Delatonia, and apparently I have to read about myself in order to tell you who I am. I am the New York Times bestselling author of The Chicken Sisters, as well as the author of How to Be a Happier Parent and a former editor at The Times.
And I'm Jenny Nash. I'm an author, a book coach, an entrepreneur, and creator of the Book Coach Certification Program at Author Accelerator.
And in every episode of this series, Jenny and I will discuss and debate a pair of popular books on writing focusing on a specific topic like structure, creativity, marketing, characterization, something like that.
We'll tell you why these books are our favorites. Then we'll get into a debate over which is better in our Fight Me segment. Before we get sidetracked, obviously, we always do, into a discussion of the topic itself.
That is what makes this fun. But the result for you, dear listener, will be our usual hashtag AmWriting, actionable, inspirational advice that will help you get your work done, whether you're just getting started or you're a seasoned pro.
Today, we're talking about getting stuck.
Getting stuck. All right. That's what we're talking about. We are ready.
What's your book, KJ? What's your getting stuck book?
Well, I might have been ready to talk about something else, so I just need to kindle my way to my getting stuck book, which is
all right.
Here.
Well, my getting stuck
book is
The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield.
Excellent.
Classic.
Indeed, it is. So why Stephen Pressfield? What is the magic there?
Well, what's super interesting about this book, and I think just about reading in general, is I recommend this book all the time. When anyone I'm talking to is stuck or complaining or they just can't get out of their rut, it's like, oh, the war of art. You know, I just send them there. It's a reflex. And what was really interesting the main idea in this book is this capital R resistance, this idea of resistance. Why are you not doing the thing that you want to do? And it really, the subtitles, break through the blocks and win your inner creative battles. And I think this book is so beloved because it was one of the first books that really got at that idea of, you know, it's not just sitting at the keyboard, that makes for a finished book or a good book. It's your own internal stuff, and that's the truth about being stuck as well. And, you know, so he walks you through this idea of, you know, it's a really deep dive on this one idea of resistance. And I had a really interesting reaction in coming back to this book and digging into it. I haven't for a long time. And I kind of encountered a few problems with it. And you're going to hear in a minute that I might have fallen in love with your book. And
all right. Well, before we do that, first of all, I want to say that, Stephen Pressfield's that book, the word resistance has entered the lexicon. My book uses that phrase. I mean, everybody does. So the book I wanted to talk about is Dear Writer, You Need to Quit by Becca Syme. What to keep, what to quit, and what to question. And I love this book. Although it sort of may make you think that it is a book about needing to quit writing, it is not. It is a book about the things that you need to quit in order to write. And I love its blunt honesty, its practicality, its easy readability, and the way it asks you to take a really good look at who you are and what you need to quit. It doesn't suggest that any one thing is going to work for everyone.
This book is so good. Your book is so good. You already win this whole debate.
I win. Fight me. We don't even have to debate.
I know, but we'll fight just for the fun of it. Because what was interesting about my going back to the War of Art, I mean, maybe it's just the year we've been through. I don't know. But it felt very male. It felt very, that there was so much God in it. But there's nothing wrong with God. And, you know, I'm fine with that. But I was surprised. I didn't remember that. And then it was so kind of one dimensional. And I actually had never read your book. So I got it because I was like, oh, I want to know what this. I've just been devouring this, and it's so three-dimensional compared to The War of Art that I just am completely enamored of this book and this voice and this person and the way she's, Becca, the way she's giving you this, you know, it's that, yeah, you said it, there's not one path for everyone out of being stuck, that you have to look at your strengths, you have to look at your weaknesses, you have to look at your habits, you have to look at your patterns, you have to look at your history. Like, it's very scientific that way about knowing your own self. Now I'm doing your job for you. But I was just really surprised by feeling a little stiltedness from The War of Art.
Well, I'll speak up in its defense. We're alternating, fight me. I haven't read it this year, so there is that. But I've read it quite great recently. And I suppose that some of the things that are great about it and something that might make it a better choice at a certain moment are basically that you can keep it on you could keep it next to you and you could grab it and read a little bite about fighting. So when you are having a moment of particular resistance, when things, you know, when this is a moment when Jess and Serena and I often text each other, ow, ow, ow. I'm the one that started that and I want to text it all the time. So when your brain is going, ow, 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 because the writing is beating you over the head, you can grab The War of Art and just read. The chapters are literally like two paragraphs long often.
Yeah.
So it's got that going for it.
Well, that's a good point, that the one note nature of it makes that really viable. At any point in the book, you kind of get the same message. And it's a great message. I mean, I'll read you, you know, you said short, they're so short. My favorite dog-eared page is this. Self-doubt can be an ally. This is because it serves as an indicator of aspiration. It reflects love, love of something we dream of doing and desire to do it. If you find yourself asking your friends, am I really a writer? Am I really an artist? Chances are you are. The counterfeit innovator is wildly self-confident. The real one is scared to death. I go back to that again and again and again. Just this idea that if you're frustrated and you're knocking your head against a wall because you're not doing the thing, it's because you want to do the thing so badly. And that's really just to flip it around and remember that. But you get those nuggets on every page. And
yeah. The nuggetiness of that is good under certain circumstances. Becca's book, and Becca is herself a rabbit hole. Like, she's got multiple helpful writing books and yeah, she like there's all kinds of things to do in Becca Nation, as she calls it. And I love her. She is great. She was a guest on the podcast, so I will put a link to that episode in the show notes if y'all want it. And since we're doing favorite dog-eared pages, it's hard to dog-ear your Kindle, but this is the thing in this book that I always go back to. And it's not so much that I'm going to read it. It's a whole chapter called "Quit Expecting This to Be Easy." I need to hear that. I need to hear that a lot, because it isn't that I expect it to be easy exactly, but I don't quite expect it to be quite so hard. So I really appreciate that.
What's interesting about where you are in your writing journey is you're at the place where it feels like it should be easy. I did the thing. The thing worked. I know how to do it. Like, I could certainly make the next one easier. And yeah.
Yeah, it's not happening. And, you know, when Becca says, you know, and here she is, somehow we all expect this to happen without resistance. See, it's just in the lexicon. She doesn't even point to Stephen Pressfield, which, you know, that's fine. Not criticizing for her for it, but that is helpful. So she says, I will read. I have a brilliant friend whom I consider to be one of the greatest writers on the planet. I'll never forget watching him struggle through a particular section of one of his books. And of course, because I'm a quote coach of writers, I had expectations about how a writer would respond to this situation. He blew my mind because he did exactly what I coach people to do all the time. And I get such pushback for suggesting. He didn't expect it to be easy. In fact, he welcomed it. When it was hard, he acknowledged and expected it would be hard and sat down to do the words anyway. I wouldn't be surprised if he understood that the struggle would make the book better. And yes, so the struggle will, in fact, at least should do that. So yeah, the book is just full of hard truths like that. And I love it. So, you know, resistance, the war of art is all about the one hard truth. And this is kind of about all the many, many smaller things that go into that feeling that you can't go any further, that you're stuck.
Yeah. And I mean, stuck is true pain. When people are stuck there, it really does feel painful. And I think there are so many facets to that pain where you're looking at other people who seem to be going faster or doing better or getting, you know, more progress than you are. There's that comparison thing. And there's, now we have social media now, meaning, you know, I don't know. In back in the day, we certainly didn't. It just, the comparison is so prevalent now. And it's just so easy when you feel stuck for that pain to be compounded. And, you know, it hurts. Like when you say you're out text, you know, it actually just really hurts to feel stuck and to feel like you're spinning your wheels or wasting your time. And it's a terrible feeling, a terrible place to be.
I think it's like other people's children who grow up at a vastly different rate than your own children. Sometimes it's faster, sometimes it's slower, depends on who the but other people's books are exactly like that. Like other people's books, you know, either you're sort of hearing about them all the time for some reason and you're like, wait a minute, didn't that get published last year? So you're totally confused about it. Or it seems like just yesterday she published her last bestseller and geez, come right on. Like, how can you expect me to compete with you? Which of course that is not the idea, but yeah. And you're just, you don't, a lot of writers do share how hard the process is, but it doesn't necessarily soak in the way it does when it's really hard for you.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And when it's really hard for you, that's the loneliest part of this whole thing, is you're just alone with your pain. You're alone with what feels like failure. You're alone with, you know, the thing about being a writer.
Especially if you don't know what to do. I mean, that's what we're talking about here. It's not so much you're in a hard ow moment. It's like, you're just like, I am overwhelmed, or I don't know where this is supposed to go. Like you're beyond ow. You're like, you're hitting the wall.
Yeah. And it's also often really connected to time, this expectation about time. Like, I've been working on this for 3 years, or I've been working on this solid for a year, or, you know, I've been working on this for 10 years or whatever the thing is. There's an expectation that I should have done it faster, sooner, better, you know, and sometimes being stuck compounds all of those feelings. And it, so it's interesting. I mean, are there other ways of getting unstuck besides reading books? That's something to consider.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the best way to get unstuck is to, well, so this is actually kind of funny because it goes back to Becca's book, but I don't think it's this book. She has this idea of the thing she calls the stuck list. And she says, you need to make your own personal stuck list that helps you when you are stuck. Like, sit down and remember the last time you were stuck and figure out, you know, what did you do? Did you talk to a friend? Which one? Did you go for a walk? Did you take a shower? Did you take a drive? Did you sit down and demand that you write words until, you know, something sort of broke free? Did you do morning pages? Did you journal? Did you, it's just, there's like an endless list of possible things that could help you when you get stuck. And she says, make your own. And that is the Becca Syme way, is figure out what works for you. So, and that kind of also goes back to the question of, I wanted to go back to that question of watching other people who seem to be faster, because sometimes other people genuinely are faster. Serena mm-hmm. is way faster than me. She mm-hmm. just is. Like, it isn't that it is not an illusion based on how often I see her books come out. You know, she's doing multiple ones a year and I am not. And that's, we are different people with different styles of writing. And, you know, sometimes sometimes it's frustrating. It's like, why this is, you know, I've been at this same book for 18 months now, and I think she's published three in that time. But, you know, we just, you can't get too caught up in that.
Yeah. I mean, you have to do what's right for you. One of the things I often recommend to my book coaching clients when they're stuck, really, really stuck, is walk away from it. Mm-hmm. Just like, don't work on it, put it away, take the folder off your desktop, wherever you keep it. Don't sit and stare at it. Don't talk about it. Pretend like it's off the table and see how long you can do that. Because most of the time you can't. So you're kind of prove to yourself that you don't have a choice. And then I think that if you can walk away from it, that tells you something too. And I've seen that. I have seen people walk away and then say, I didn't miss it. I didn't want to do it. I felt relief. Ooh. And there are times that I think people come to book coaching because they want somebody to tell them to stop working on a project. And I've had that experience before where I'll say, sounds like you don't actually really want to write this book, or you don't really want to do what it takes. And they'll say, I don't, I really don't. And, you know, I'll say, well, perhaps then don't.
Let me give you permission to not.
Yeah. So, you know, I think as writers and readers, our instinct is to go to books when we are in trouble or when we want to learn or, and I think like these two are really good examples that that works, but there's also other things that in stuckness, I think can really help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, stuck sucks.
Totally.
But it is typically temporary, right? So totally. That going for us.
So are there any red flags in Dear Writer you need to quit?
I don't. It's very current. It's very of the moment. So I can't really think of any. You know, if she says something that's a red flag, she's like, hey, wait, if you're triggered by this, don't, you know, I mean, you know, she's got the lingo down. So no. If anything, I suppose the only red flag is that I would say that she is herself a fast genre writer, and many, many, many of the people she writes about and talks about are fast genre writers. So, you know, like she believes you might have an expectation that you can write a book a month. I have never had such an expectation in all my life. So it was a little bit news to me that I might, you know, that there are people who did that. So there is that piece of it that in some ways it is on the page of the indie, fast, speedy writer, but not entirely. It is wholly still useful if that is not you.
Yeah, I would agree with that as the red flag that it is definitely directed toward that. So if you are a first time writer, you're just starting out, or you're trying to get your first book under your belt, it might be a little daunting for her to be talking about speed, that kind of speed, and a book a month. I think that's the red flag. But man, I'm a totally new convert to this book. I just really loved it. And I'm extremely critical. I read like you, I read a lot of books. I work with a lot of writers. I'm in the business of looking for problems in books. That's what my literal job is, right? Like to help people see what's wrong and help them fix it. And there are very few books where I'm reading it and I'm just going, yeah, yeah, yeah. And this was one of them.
Yeah. So if you are watching us on YouTube, then you should know that Becca has a YouTube channel with a YouTube UCast. I don't even know. She has not yet turned it into an audio podcast, which is disappointing for me because I would rather listen to it that way. But again, link in the show notes. I will send you over there because she's got really great discussions of all of this stuff.
So
even Pressfield does not have a YouTube.
No. And I would say the red flags on this are.
He has a website though. I think he has a, He has a writing website, and every Wednesday he posts something. So we will put a link to Stephen Pressfield too, because we do love him. It's just different.
We do. I just am looking it up. This book was published in 2002, which, you know,
he's written some since. So, you know, if you want something more current, there's something out there.
Definitely. And I mean, this book, I think the best thing about it is so many people have read it. And to your point, that idea of resistance is in the lexicon, and it is the big umbrella thing. If you're mm-hmm. stuck, resistance is the big thing. So I think
it was a big idea book, and most of his other books on writing spin from it. So I think it's a great place to start.
It is a great place to start. So the red flags would be it feels a little dated. And it feels like it comes from a privileged place, but it's not offensive in that way.
And no, it's just a different voice. It is, I mean, and this is a dude who writes major tomes about Polynesian wars, like, and Trojans. You know, if you're a fan of the whole Stoic stuff, this is the guy for you. It's just a different tone. It isn't even necessarily a bad tone, but it's a different tone.
Yeah. So that's that. So I guess we already did our dog-eared page. So what are the best things about Dear Writer? What's the wrap up?
I'm making sure oh, here it is. Okay. I've got them. Well, it's easier because I'm going to give you five things. So Dear Writer is uber practical. It's don't open Facebook in the morning. It's, you know, try a different plotting system. It's not like there's no woo. It's uber practical. It won't let you pretend you can do all the things. I love that the honest acceptance that the thing you need to quit might be Netflix. I'm sorry. I get it. You love Netflix. The thing I need to quit is, you know, these guys sometimes. I can't read as much as I would like to. Sometimes you need to quit something so you can do your job. And this won't let you pretend that you can do everything. It owns that you will not like it all of the time, which that's the quit expecting it to be easy. And I love that. This book focuses on the positive. What can you do? What is your best thing? Do more of that and quit something else. So if your best thing is plotting, plot the heck out of stuff and, you know, quit worrying that your setting isn't so great, because it's probably not what your readers are looking for. I mean, have setting, you know, recognize it as something you want to do, but lean into your strengths. This is the good kind of lean in, not the kind of lean in where you're like, yeah, I could do that if I had a butler and a nanny. Finally, this is a book that really demands that you invest in yourself and your writing career and take yourself seriously. This, you know, the expectation is that you want to get these things done and that you're here to get help doing that. And she's got it. And I appreciate that tone.
Oh man, that was a great wrap up. You win the book, you win the wrap up. You just win all the things.
I'm looking around. I win this pink pig award. That's for the best book.
Because not only that, but you just, this book just shot to the top of my favorite ever. So I
mean, she's got a couple more. I can tell you'll be downloading them. Dear Writer, are you in burnout? Dear Writer, it's still 2020, which I think she just changed the title of and made something different. But and there's the Quit Cast. And yeah, she's just great. She's just great.
And that's the rabbit hole for that, in terms of having to quit things. When I get stuck, my instinct is to go read all the things, take all the classes, get all the input, and that sometimes just overwhelms and crashes the system.
Oh, she is so she's so into that. Like, she'll tell you that is a thing. Yeah. And if you are that, yeah.
She's got advice.
It's me too. It is me too. It probably means one of your Clifton strengths is input. You got to go. You're going down this rabbit hole. You're going to take this test.
Did you do the Clifton strengths?
I have done the Clifton strengths test.
It's super
fun.
I'm going to do it.
I have actually taken her Better Faster Academy course because I like her so much.
You're a super fan. I love it.
It was super fun. So
I'm probably going to take all the things because that's
all the things. Yes,
I know. So the five things about the War of Art, I mean, it's a classic. Everybody talks about the idea of resistance. It's good to know that umbrella term and that umbrella feeling and to recognize it when you're in it. He talks a lot about how self-doubt can be an ally. And I like that. It's the turning things around and looking at the hard things as good things. I think that's a really helpful thing to realize, that the doubt is not a bad thing. This idea of that resistance means you love the thing. I really love that point too.
Yeah.
That's just a powerful, powerful thing. Like, I'm feeling this pain and stuckness because I love this work and I want to be this thing and I love what I'm writing, and that's why it hurts. I think that's the big, big takeaway from this book for me. And as you said, KJ, so well, it's an easy read because you can just pick it up, you can dip in, you can get something really good in a hot second. And sometimes you just need that.
You can keep it by the toilet.
You could.
Well, you know, TMI, but that's something you could do with it.
You could. I mean, you know.
That would be a place. I'm not, that's not a comment on the quality, but on the readability and the length of the sections.
So in our next episode, we are going to be talking about how to up your game.
No, you are wrong.
I'm wrong. I think I was wrong this time too.
You were. We went down a different road than we were going to go down. So in order to have like the consistent, like the last time we said we were going to talk about, the next episode after this one is the one where we are going to talk about getting published.
You are so right. And I am so wrong. And I just have to say,
this one, we have already talked about when you're ready to up your game. So if you missed that one, you'll want to go back.
That was an amazing bit of improv that we saw KJ pull off, where I said the thing and she just went with it. So
yep, that's why I had to change the book title the cover at the beginning, because we're going to roll.
Proving to the
audience.
That's
what we do here. We just roll with it.
We're just proving that we're doing it live. I mean, you know, in real time.
Totally real time. All right. This was a great episode. If you have other books you'd like to hear us cover, feel free to put it. If you're on YouTube, put it in the comments. This is the YouTube piece of this is new to us, so that will be a new and exciting thing. But really the best way to talk to us is to head over to the hashtag MWriting Facebook page. And if you want to share a book that you have loved on this topic or suggest a book for a later show, we would love to hear it. And that is it for this particular episode. Until next week, keep your butt in the chair and your head in the game.
The hashtag AmWriting podcast is produced by Andrew Perilla. Our intro music, aptly titled Unemployed Monday, was written and played by Max Cohen. Andrew and Max were paid for their time and their creative output because everyone deserves to be paid for their work.